broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride. Oh, yeah.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. Great to have you with us. Hour two of the Todd Starnes radio show. Hey, did you hear what they're trying to do over in New York City? Yeah, they're going to get rid of Theodore Roosevelt. So anybody who's seen the movie Night at the Museum, you know there's a giant statue of Teddy Roosevelt right out in front of the main entrance there at the Museum of Natural History in New York City, right across from Central Park. You used to walk by that statue every single day. Soon it's going to be removed. They're going to turn the poor statue into a heaping pile of rubble in the name of political correctness and this cancel culture. And apparently they're saying the statue is racist and offends a lot of people, so now they got to get rid of Teddy Roosevelt. And look, I'm telling you folks, I wrote about this in Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. And as I wrote in this book that came out in October, if we were not careful, they were not going to stop. The culture jihadists were not going to stop at the Confederate statues. They were going to target all of American history. And that's what's happened. By and large, just like the Islamic radicals, when they went into Afghanistan, when they went into Iraq, they immediately targeted the cultural centers of the countries and started turning all of the history and the ancient artifacts into heaping piles of rubble. And that's what's going on here. We'll leave it to a good friend of this program to call these leftist thugs out for who they really are and the hypocrisy they represent. Jesse Kelly, over the weekend, host of the Jesse Kelly Show, and those of you listening to this program on KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station, you listen to that program every day, right before we come on the air. Jesse Kelly causing all sorts of mayhem and, quite frankly, mirth among conservatives on Twitter by pointing out the sheer hypocrisy of the left when it comes to the cancel culture. Jesse's on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Jesse, how's it going today?
It shouldn't be going any better, Todd. I just think it's these are exciting times in America where we can completely rip apart and tear down anything that is an institution of slavery. And I have decided I'm going to support that movement. And look, if we're going to go after institutions that are part of slavery, we have to go after the American university system. Let's be honest. The worst Confederate general you can imagine was an absolute saint compared to some of these men who founded some of our most prestigious universities. So I think these universities need to be raised to the ground.
Hashtag cancel Yale. Why do you want to bulldoze Yale? I've got a few reasons, but yours are actually better than mine.
Look, Todd, the bottom line is Elihu Yale. He is the man Yale was named after. I just want everybody to be clear on this. Think about the Yale alumni. Think about all the places you've seen the name Yale. Elihu Yale was not a man who simply owned slaves. That would be bad enough. This man was an actual slave trader. This man had black people stuffed into the bowels of ships dying, crossing the Atlantic Ocean. Yale is still named after this man. There is no worse monument to racism and slavery in America than the name Yale. That name should be removed from every Yale building. Everyone with a Yale diploma should put it in the paper shredder. Everyone who has a diploma from there should issue a public apology. Yale's endowment should be seized and redistributed to black people. And Yale should either be completely leveled or should become an all-black college for the next 300 years for what they did before.
I think that seems like a pretty reasonable thing to ask. I mean, considering the fact that, as the Wall Street Journal described Elihu Yale as a slave trader extraordinaire, Jesse Kelly, what about all of these woke leftist politicians who have degrees from Yale University?
They're endless. They're absolutely endless. And Todd, look, I wish, in my heart of hearts, I wish this stopped at Yale. It is pervasive. Brown University, founded by a slave owner. Georgetown, founded by a slave owner. Duke has an ugly past. I'm down here in Houston by Rice University. William M. Rice, He's obviously the one responsible for Rice University. They still have a gigantic statue of William M. Rice sitting on Rice's campus. While we're tearing down statues of Teddy Roosevelt, William M. Rice said in his will that Rice University should be, and I quote, "for whites only," end quote. That statue must come down. The name Rice must be removed from every building, every piece of paper, and scratched from the history books. It's the only way we can make racism right in America.
Not only that, you also point out the untoward foundings of CNN, the most profane name in news, started by Ted Turner of Atlanta, Georgia. What do you have to say about CNN?
Well, look, it's not some personal axe to grind, but CNN was founded by Ted Turner, who went to Brown. Remember, Brown, the whole family, not only were they slave traders, the family actually rented out, I'm so disgusted I can hardly put it into words, rented out black people for the board of trustees when they had their meetings in the early days. That's on top of all the Yale alumni we were talking about over there, people like Chris Cuomo. CNN is literally bathing in the slave trade. It is disgusting. I think the network itself should think about disbanding for what they've done.
I could not agree with you more, Jesse Kelly. I mean, shocking news from the cancel culture wars here, folks, and you're hearing it on the Todd Stearns radio program. You know, Jesse, when you look at what's happening now, the makers of Eskimo Pie say they're going to rename their product because it apparently offends people who live in igloos. You have this situation with the Teddy Roosevelt statue. I'm wondering if there has, and I mean this in all seriousness, has anyone suggested that they have to either destroy the movie, not at the museum, or digitally alter it to take out the references to Teddy Roosevelt?
Oh, they will, Todd. They will. You know what's so funny is it sounds ridiculous to even ask that now. But if I had told you even 1 year ago that we would be taking down statues of Teddy Roosevelt, Todd, you would have laughed in my face. And you're a nice human being. You would have laughed in my face. The most ridiculous thing anybody can possibly think of, they're coming for that next because these people are all leftists. Leftism is not a political ideology. It is a religion of domination and destruction, and that's what they do.
And Jesse, no, seriously, you know, my book came out in October, and I mean, there were people back at Fox News who were just appalled that I would even suggest that we would live in a country that would ban statues of George Washington. I mean, it's, and here we are, where not only are people openly advocating for that, they actually are taking down the statues of Washington and Jefferson. And Jesse, this is laying the groundwork ultimately to go after the founding documents written by these guys.
There's no question, but we have to understand we are in the soft version of what these people are doing. If you want to know what the hard version of what leftists do, you don't have to look any further than Cambodia, places like Russia, any place where leftists eventually take over. One of the first things they do is burn books. They kill anybody with any reading, anybody who differs from the party line gets murdered. Pol Pot used to kill anybody who was found with reading glasses in their home because they were thought to be an intellectual. This is leftism. It is a religion of domination. As I said, they are coming for everything, and eventually they're coming for you.
On the Newsmaker line, Jesse Kelly, host of the Jesse Kelly Show. Jesse, a while back, you were one of the only people, and I remember this, you were one of the only people out there warning Americans about what the coronavirus was going to do, especially when it came to unemployment numbers in America. You predicted it was going to lead to great unrest on American streets. And here we are, where over 100 people shot in Chicago over the weekend. And it looks like a war zone in parts of New York City right now.
Of course it is. Todd, you cannot tell people. I said at the beginning, lockdowns, even if you thought they worked, they're bad medicine. It's not just bad economic policy. It's bad medicine. It is against the way God made us to tell a human being, you're not allowed to work anymore. Go lock yourself in your home. That's bad for somebody like me who doesn't have feelings, and I'm a borderline sociopath. Now, take somebody out there who's maybe emotionally and mentally fragile, and we know we have plenty of those people. Shut them in their home, take away their job of 40 million people. Of course we have a bubbling anger. It was a ticking time bomb. If it wasn't that video in Minneapolis, it would have been something else. This country was a ticking time bomb because of those lockdowns.
No doubt about it. All right, Jesse, we're going to have to wrap it up real quick. Have you heard anything from Yale University about your concerns?
I have not yet. They are locking down their Wikipedia page. They're locking down their social media accounts. But we will not rest until those slaves brought over here by Elihu Yale are avenged.
All right, Jesse Kelly, host of the Jesse Kelly Show. You got to follow this guy on Twitter. He may be a sociopath, but he's a lovable sociopath. So, Jesse, good to have you on the show.
See you, Todd.
All right, good guy right there, folks. You got to listen to his show. He puts a lot of history, a lot of facts into what he says, and he's absolutely right. This is nothing new. We have seen this happen time and time again throughout history, where despots and dictators have cracked down on freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of thought. And that's what's happening here. And going back to the first hour of the show, I suspect there are a lot of people, a lot of folks that would call themselves the silent majority. And the reason why they did not go to that rally is that they see what happens when people are outed as conservatives in this country. And they don't want that. And I get it. But you folks, I've got to tell you something. We cannot be afraid. And I know that, I'm hard on the Trump campaign because I want them to do right. There is no wiggle room for mistakes. They've got to be on point. Our president comes out every single day, and he is on point. He is on message. And they've got to do the same thing. Because I'm telling you, as we move towards the election, this is an all-out war, and you have to be reminded of that. It is an all-out war. They want to destroy this president. They want to destroy this administration. They want to destroy you, the silent majority. And we can't let that happen. And as important as these rallies are, you know what the most important thing, folks, is? You know what the most important thing for you to do is? It's to get out and vote on election day. That is the most important thing you can do. And don't do it just for Donald Trump. Do it for all the statues out there across America. Do it for all the books out there that you want to read. Do it for all the movies you want to see. Because if the left gets in charge, if they reclaim control of Washington, you better believe there are going to be more book bannings. There are going to be more movie bannings. There's going to be more music banned. And you better believe they're going to come after radio hosts across this country. But it'll be a cold day in hell before I let Joe Biden or any of these other Democrats out there get a hold of this big, beautiful, huge microphone. Not going to happen. We got to take a break. 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
So the New York Times just got word. We knew this was coming down the pike here. Last week, a reporter for the New York Times called, wanted me to comment for a story. And I never comment. I don't give these people the time of day. The guy's name is Davey Alba and Ben Decker. Those are the two reporters. And they published a little nasty hit piece on yours truly just a little while ago. And the New York Times is trying to convince you that Antifa does not exist. So look, a couple of weeks ago, here's the backstory. A couple of weeks ago, there was a video on Twitter in Yucaipa, California, and the locals there had joined together. They had gotten local citizens together to fight the Antifa protesters who were invading their town. And there was this video, and it's still on our website. You can watch the video if you'd like. It's Yucaipa, California. And it was a terrific video showing the local citizens in Yucaipa beating the living daylights out of these Antifa thugs and sending them on their way. And so the New York Times is going out of their way saying that it's not true. They weren't Antifa protesters. There wasn't a fight. Well, the video is there. You can see it for yourself. And so anyway, you got to love how these New York Times these people are sleazeballs. And after they basically say Starnes made this up, even though we had the video showing it's right there, you can see it for yourself. And then they turn around and they reached out to the police department, and the police department confirmed that there were fights. But they did not admit that it was Antifa. So that's the issue here, is they want you to believe that Antifa is not real. What a load of hooey that is. All right, let's get to the phones. Crooksville, Ohio, Dakota is on the line. Now, Dakota, I'm being told that you were actually at this rally. Is that right?
That is correct.
So you were in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Trump rally. So what were your observations?
It was, I got there actually at 3 a.m. on the day of the rally, Saturday. I went there at 3 a.m. to get in line. Well, I was there the night before, and I walked around, and there was a line. And there had been at least 1,000 people in front of me from the night before. I was like, oh, my. And I was like, I thought I'd get up the next morning, or I was going to sit out there at the night. But I ended up getting it up the next morning going, well, while I was out there at night, when I first came in on Friday night, I was walking, and it was peaceful, and there was the BLM people, the BLM movement was there. Most of them were peaceful, but there was a few bad apples, and I was walking, and there was this confrontation when I was walking through there. It was just with one person, and I walked away. I walked away. I said, I'm not doing this. I drove 13 hours. I'm not going to do this, and The night before was very peaceful, but I got in. My friend with me got in, and we met other people from Ohio there, and we sat with them.
Dakota, were you surprised by the empty seats in the in that arena?
I was, but I wasn't. I was because I understand the circumstances going on. But I understand. My understanding is that there's some outside that of circumstances going on. You know, there was reports that BLM was blocking the entrance after we had started to go in, and there was also reports that the workers who were doing the scanning of their, you know, the health scannings to go in, they had left their post, and so, and then there was reports that Trump supporters couldn't get in. But I'd still say there's between 70-75% of the arena was full. It was very nice, a little rally.
Look, I thought it was a terrific rally. I mean, you know, it's the president hits a home run all the time. I think my concern, Dakota, is we've got to make sure the campaign is hitting a home run all the time. And I'm not sure this did it. And honestly, if Jared Kushner really was in charge of planning the event in Tulsa, they need somebody else doing that job.
Well, it drew my attention because I was staying at the Holiday Inn, and that was a couple blocks down the road, and I couldn't go the way I came in because they had blocked the entrances. So I figured, why do we have to? Because the police secured the entrances, and I have been seeing these videos of confrontations.
Mm. All right, Dakota, we're gonna have to leave it there. Glad you went though, and glad you had a good time. I mean, I think everybody had a great time at the rally. What, 2-hour rally, by the way. Hey, Diamond and Silk are coming up. You're going to want to stick around. Jenna Ellis, too. Plus your calls, ToddStarnes.com, the website. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program, one of the very first national shows that interviewed Marjorie Taylor Greene. Was this radio program, the Todd Stearns Show? She is running for Congress in the state of Georgia. She came out number one in the first election, the primary. Now there's a runoff, and that's happening, I believe, August 11th. And I just want to tell you guys, you're going to hear and read a lot of really bad stuff about Marjorie Taylor Greene, and it's all a load of fertilizer, grade A fertilizer. And we're going to talk to her. She's on the Newsmaker line right now, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie, great to have you back with us, and hope you're doing good.
Thank you, Todd, and you are absolutely right. It's a bunch of fertilizer, and that's exactly how I feel about it, and that's why I could care less what the fake news media has to say about me.
The story from Politico.com, dated June 17th, high-ranking House Republicans are racing to distance themselves from a leading GOP congressional candidate in Georgia after Politico uncovered hours of Facebook videos in which he expresses racist, Islamophobic, and anti-Semitic views. They're talking about you, Marjorie, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond to those vicious, ugly accusations.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that, Todd. You know, here's the situation. Everyone always wants people in Congress to stand up and speak the truth, to not be politically correct, to stand up and speak out against radical Islam, against people that want to be in our government who believe in Sharia law, because if they truly believe in Sharia law, then they do not believe in our Constitution. You know, people, different Americans, many Americans, millions of Americans always want someone in Congress that are willing to stand up and fight back against Democrat socialism, that are also willing to stand up to other Republicans when Republicans are weak, spineless, and lay down and allow Democrats to run over the American people like they are doing right now. You know, everyone wants someone in Congress to stand up for them, and that's why the fake news media is attacking me, because I'm one of those people. I'm a regular American, just like you and everyone else. And I am fed up. I'm sick and tired of the lies that we're fed every single day by the fake news media. You know, they want to call me a conspiracy theorist, but they're the ones that have been shoving Russian collusion down our throats for over 3 years now, all in an effort to take down our president. And I'm not going to allow it, and I'm not going to be quiet. And they're going to have their hands full once I win this runoff.
You know, Marjorie, you came under fire because they say you compared Black Lives Matter activists to neo-Nazis and Klan members who marched in Charlottesville, Virginia. I think that's a pretty fair comparison when you look at what some of these Black Lives Matter thugs have been doing, targeting motorists, innocent motorists, beating them up, pulling them out of their cars, fighting with police. I mean, these are violent individuals.
They are. They are violent individuals, and they're no different than the KKK. They're no different than any other anarchist group. They're no different than Antifa. They're also an action arm of the Democrat Party, because if you donate to BLM, you are donating to Act Blue, which is the fundraising arm of the Democrat Party. BLM doesn't care about black lives. They don't matter to them. You want to know why? If they cared about black lives, then they would be working as hard as possible to end abortion. They would be addressing all the shootings that happen weekend after weekend in Chicago. They would be concerned about black-on-black crime. And they would be outraged by the good black police officers who've been murdered, especially during this riots and looting and anarchy that's happened in our country over the past few weeks. Black Lives Matter is an organization that's funded by radicals in our country, and it's all because in its election year.
Oh, no doubt about that. I mean, I think we've done a pretty good job on this program of exposing Black Lives Matter for what they really are. Marjorie, a lot of our listeners have been paying very close attention to what's happened down in Atlanta, where the police officers, I believe, unfairly accused in the case of the guy who was shot outside of the Wendy's. I understand you've been in touch with Officer Rolfe's stepmother. You've been following this case very closely. What can you tell us?
Yes, I have. I have, you know, I have taken this on personally, and I'll tell you why. I'm a big believer in law and order. We're a nation of laws, and they have to be enforced, and they have to be upheld in order for us to have order. You know, we can't function, our businesses can't operate, our kids can't grow up safely. We can't have an orderly society that we feel safe in if we do not have police and law enforcement working hard, and if they don't have the support of elected leaders, then we are failing as a nation. And I fully believe that. So I'm standing up in a big way. I back the blue. I support the police. I back law enforcement. I back ICE. I back Border Patrol because I care very much about our country. And Garrett Wolf's situation is completely, completely different than what we saw in Minnesota. They're going to do an investigation, but he is being unfairly treated. This is a Democrat witch hunt. You could even possibly call it a lynching because these Democrat politicians in Atlanta, you know, Mayor Keisha Bottom, she's working hard. She'd love to be the vice president pick for Joe Biden. And, you know, that the DA down there, he's working hard because he's in a runoff. So he's got an axe to grind and he wants to prove to everyone that he can take down this white police officer for shooting a black man. You know, they don't care anything about the circumstances in the case, and they could care less about that. It's all about proving a point and continuing and inciting a race war, which is what they're doing in our country. You know, we're a country where God declares us equal, and our Constitution affirms that, and our rights provide us that opportunity. And we, you know, with Barack Obama, he set us back. He set us back to the civil rights era because he has incited so much of this came out of his presidency, and now we've seen it continued and carried on and on to where we're in a place in our country where we shouldn't be. And many of my friends, coworkers, relatives, people that know me are outraged at the lies the fake news media is saying about me. But here's the situation. I could care less. And I think other Republicans need to learn to be bold and brave like the stance that I'm taking. Because if we acted like Republicans and we stood firm for the things that we say on the campaign trail, we wouldn't be having the problems that we're having. So with Garrett Rolf and his mom, Missy, who was fired, she was fired from her job the same day.
Marjorie, let's stop right there. I wanted to ask you about that because you're right. There were reports out there that the stepmother had been fired from her job as a result of her stepson being arrested. So can you confirm that? We haven't been able to confirm that.
Oh, it's absolutely true. Absolutely true. The day that they had to take Garrett to be processed and put in jail is the very same day that her company terminated her employment.
Well, let's give the name of the company here, Marjorie. What's the name of the company?
Equity Prime Mortgage. You can see it on their website. They've put a statement out. There's a statement they've put out on their social media. I can't answer any questions for them. Of course, I can't answer any details of the case, but you know, I'm standing alongside Missy Rolf. I'm standing alongside Marty Rolf, Garrett's father, and I'm standing right behind Garrett Rolf in his case and all of the Atlanta police and law enforcement across the country. I'm going to stand up in a big way for them, and I'm not going. It doesn't matter about color. It's all a lie. This has nothing to do with skin color. It's the Democrat effort to take down our law enforcement because they want lawlessness in the United States of America, and they truly believe once they can reach lawlessness, then they can bring in their radical policies, their policies of socialism and maybe even communism. But it won't be policies of freedom, and it won't be the policies that our Constitution set up.
Now, Marjorie, let me ask you about Officer Rolf, because you're right. He did turn himself in. The other officer was released on bail. Is Officer Rolf still in jail?
Yes, he is. He has a hearing tomorrow.
So he's being held without bail. This is just reprehensible. And honestly, I know, Marjorie, over the weekend, the interim police chief, who, by the way, a black man, who said this has nothing to do with race, reiterating what you just said. But I think they're getting pretty nervous because a lot of police officers have been calling out sick. And honestly, Marjorie, I think every one of them ought to call out sick until Officer Rolf is set free and is at least given bail.
You know what? Who would want to be a police officer in this climate? When these guys do a job that none of us can comprehend. They go to work and they put their lives on the line. They deal with humanity when humanity is at their lowest. People committing suicide, people on drugs, people drunk driving, people in car accidents, bleeding on the road, people in terrible fights with each other and their families, rape, murder, child molestation. This is a day on the job for police officers, but they don't have the support of their elected leaders. And that is appalling to me. And I refuse to allow that to happen. I refuse. So once I win my election, I'm going to be fighting hard for law enforcement. And it will not end like it's ending in Atlanta. You know, they are resigning at a record rate. I've heard it's around 70, maybe more. Atlanta police officers have resigned, and the police officers all over the country are bailing out of law enforcement. They're looking for other jobs. They're looking to retire early. And this is a travesty. This should not be happening here in America, but it's the Democrats' fault. And you know what? We're going to see crime increase in Atlanta. There's been shootings. There's been rapes. There's been all kinds of things happening. And it's Mayor Keisha Bottoms' fault, because these are her policies and these are the Democrat policies in Atlanta. And these are the policies that have Garrett Rolfe locked up right now. And
no
we got to stop
about
it.
No doubt about it. All right, Marjorie, where can people go to get more information about your campaign?
You can go to green2020.com. Green has an E on the end, green2020.com. You can also follow me on Facebook, Marjorie Taylor Greene for Congress. And I'm on Twitter, Marjorie Taylor Greene for Congress. You can find me that way too. Donate to my campaign, you guys. I have a runoff on August 11th. I'm leading big. I came out strong in my primary, and I'm going to take this thing home on August 11th, and I'll be fighting for every single one of us who care about our Christian values, who want pro-life, we want to end abortion, when we want to end this war on America that the Democrats have declared on all of us.
All
Thank
right.
you, Todd.
Marjorie, hang in there, and don't let them get you down. You know you're doing well when they start coming after you, and that's what's going on here. So.
Oh, yeah. They're coming
hang
after
tight.
Me, but people in my district, they don't care.
They know. They know what's going on. They know the deal. All right, Marjorie, thank you. Marjorie Taylor Greene, running for Congress in the state of Georgia. Her campaign slogan, Save America, Stop Socialism. She's a Christian. She's a wife, a mom, a small business owner, a proud American, 100% pro-life, pro-gun, pro-Trump. And every single person in Republican House leadership, from the Speaker all the way to Steve Scalise, I'm kind of shocked by that, are standing against this woman because of her views on Sharia law, because of her views supporting law enforcement, and her views opposing Black Lives Matter, which is a hate group in my estimation. So we'll get her back on the program. But man, she's coming under fire. And you need to understand this. Officer Garrett Rolfe is still in jail right now. They refuse to grant this man bail. And you really do have to wonder what's going on here. The district attorney is facing corruption investigations. He is a really shady dude. And you have to wonder what's going on. I will say this. My sources tell me that many, many police officers are calling out. And there are not enough, they're just not enough officers to cover the 911 calls. So we're going to get to, look, we're going to open up the phone lines here. We're going to talk more about this issue in Atlanta. This is a major deal. And she raises a great point. Who in their right mind would want to be a police officer in this kind of an environment? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Oh, you know what I did yesterday? This is over the weekend. Yesterday was church. On Saturday, went to the farmer's market, and man, good stuff there. Had to get another batch of those delicious Mississippi red tomatoes, which are different from the Alabama tomatoes. I didn't even know Alabama had their own brand of tomatoes, but apparently they do. So I had a delicious, and again, this is like becoming a summertime tradition, Bill Main, is a delicious tomato sandwich, little mayonnaise on the white bread.
Delicious. Absolutely fantastic. If you got a nice, really good, real tomato, not the mealy kind, but that bold flavor. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and by white bread, I mean nothing untoward by that, nothing racist. I just like white bread.
Yeah, that gooey, sticky stuff is just water and flour.
It's bread.
Wonder bread. You got to have some Wonder bread.
Yeah.
Get some Duke's mayonnaise. Slather that bread, a little salt and pepper on the tomato. But someone told me, one of our listeners suggested that I need to try a little slice of Vidalia onion on it. Woo! Boy, that was good.
I'm not a fan of
not an onion fan?
Not that big
no.
of a fan.
You're
what's wrong with you, Avery?
I'll eat them, but I mean, I'm not going to
I love a good Vidalia.
Intentionally put them on my
especially on a hamburger. Salad. Wow.
Mm. Mm, that's good eating. So any of and if any of you folks out there have some ideas, so what are some things that you that are just summertime eating? You only eat it during the summer months. Give us a holler, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Watermelon with a little salt. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. The best.
Avery, you got to open up your culinary horizons just a smidge.
Oh, yeah, I am. I am. Don't worry about it. I'm trying a lot of new foods.
That's right. He's actually moved from the regular French fries to the crinkle cuts. So I took that as a big move on his part.
That's a big move. They had the crinkle cut fries at the Collegiate, which is my favorite hot dog joint in America.
Yeah,
they're in Gainesville, Georgia.
Delicious stuff right there.
I haven't been there in a while to
love the cheeseburger
right off the grill. Kind of fries they have.
So good.
When you do, tell them that you heard about it on my show. They might give you a discount.
That is a good point. Or I could also say that I work for you. That's
true.
That might get a double discount, something like
but
that.
But you got to leave a big tip if you do that now.
That is true. That is true.
we're known for leaving the big tips. That's all there is to it. Hey, real quick, Avery sent me a note here. One of our callers didn't want to come on the air. Wanted to know about what's the deal with this NASCAR story. There was a noose found hanging in Bubba Wallace's garage. Is this something I want to talk about? Well, not yet, because we want to make sure we have all the facts. And that is the allegation. And we can certainly talk about the allegation that they found a noose hanging in Bubba Wallace's garage. At a NASCAR event. Was this in Alabama over the weekend? I think that was the one.
Talladega, yeah.
Talladega. Well, we know what happened with Jussie Smollett. Remember that case in Chicago? And everybody went nuts, and then it turned out that that was not necessarily the case. It was all fabricated. I'm not saying that about Bubba Wallace. I just want to wait until we get more information. If it's true and we find out who did it, they ought to be arrested, charged with a hate crime. No doubt about it. So let's just wait and see where all of this leads, because I'm telling you, they've got to have, it's not, you just can't walk into a NASCAR garage. I mean, there are layers and layers of security. There are video cameras. So if this happened, there's going to have to be video of it. There has to be. And when that happens, when we get more information, we will be on top of the story. We want to make sure we get all the facts straight. Is that okay? I think that's pretty prudent. Would you say so, ladies and gentlemen? I think so. All right, stick around. Diamond and Silk. Jenna Ellis coming up next. This is the Todd Starnes Show.